Yes. That was just my reasoning. That's just my, of course, that will not stop God from calling who he wants to call. So I cannot, I'm just trying to tell you how my own reasoning was. What I'm trying to emphasize to us is this. We must allow God, because there's something that God is doing. He's working to bring forth his will, his promise. He said, what do you see? I see a rod of an almond tree. Is that how it goes? What does it mean? He said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I told you before, that word, when you see, especially when David uses Psalm 119, that's what is called the promises of God. What God is saying is that what will come forth in your life is that which I promised, not the one that is natural. That's why I'm not emphasizing all of these things. That is, your father can be an Islamic cleric and your mother a follower of Guru Maharaj. If you give your life to Christ and I call you into ministry, I put an anointing upon you that everybody on this earth will come and listen to you. That is Isaac. But if I carry where I go, you know, this is a person as my father, I open door like that, that is Ishmael. It gets some results, but the fullness of the blessing of God is not upon it. I was saying earlier that all of us Christians, we can convert our lives out of the Ishmaelish method, you know. Help me with English there. Ishmaelic method into the method of Isaac simply by understanding. That's what I'm going to explain. That you realize that anything that comes naturally to life in your life is not that which God is going to bring forth your, let me use the word, greatness through. Many people are trained naturally in a particular way. There was a young man, I told this story a number of times here. I was my student, very intelligent young man, that is. But anytime you talk with him, you see that his gifts, and for that reason, I believe his calling, all right? Because the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. One of my friends said that what that implies is that from your gifts, you can deduce your calling. You understand? That God normally gives you gifts, all right, that tie with your calling. You could deduce from that his calling is not this thing he's doing. You know, he's intelligent, he's in school, they've taught him, you know, he's becoming a doctor. I conversed with him a number of times. I just said to him simply, you should be a businessman. You should be a businessman. Forget the one that because you're so smart, they have thrown you inside here and you are doing very well inside here. I said, what will happen most of the times if he wasn't careful? I don't know what happened to him afterwards. I didn't see him after he left school. I said, what will happen to you? Now go and do usually PLAB. That's PLAB is American, the British qualifying exam for medical doctors, or USMLE, the one for the US, and then you get there, get a job, and then queue up again. And then at the end of the day, it will be that, oh, there's one doctor, they're very smart, very intelligent, and that's it. After he dies, he's dead. The story has ended. If he dared to do anything different, they will call family meeting on his head. One of my students in Enugu here the other day, you know, in fact, we were supposed to have a discussion, and I'll let all of you know. I told him he'll come here and give a lecture. You understand? Not Bible study time, you know. We just organized something, how to do your business on the internet. So, it was one person that get my point. I've been involved in the this web management, and because of our website and all of that, I've talked to a lot of people. All right, he was the first person that would be using words, and I had never heard them before. So things that I used to see on the internet that, you know, you won't, because like what Pastor Pojo calls your personal recognition system, because you don't know it, you don't notice it, you know, just see it and let it pass. He was the first person to give them meaning before my eyes. You understand? So that next time I go online, those things are now making meaning. So he explained a lot of things. He's a medical student. So after a while, I said to him, what are you doing here? I don't know whether you get my point. And he was really struggling, trying to get things done. What are you doing here? He said actually that his mother called, that I think his father is late or something. His mother called his uncles, called village meeting, family meeting on his head. That it was the result of that family meeting. He promised them that he will go to school, study medicine, and finish. So that's why he's there, struggling every day, trying hard to learn things that don't even come to him naturally. I looked. You know, this security of the path that's already known is the reason why many people don't go far in life. Okay, he becomes a doctor. What is he? Gets a job, opens a clinic. He becomes one of the hundreds of thousands in the United States, if that's where he finds himself. Or Nigeria, tens of thousands. Never be outstanding doing that. I felt very, I said, what on earth are you doing here? When he told me what he had accomplished before his mother called Family Meeting. Of course, the thing wasn't dropping money heavily. He's a young man. What is a young man doing with plenty of money? You don't need the money. I hope you understand that. Don't be deceived. If you have too much money here, you won't balance again. At a certain age, there's a certain amount of money that God must not give you. If he gives you, somebody was telling your daddy that they are praying for, is it Wizkid? Say the boy done the colo complete now. At the age of 18, they are filming you sleeping with a woman. You won't live long. You know, your career will end sharp. No. Go and tell Wizkid. That if what they, I heard, I don't know, if this is true, I give him 5 years, he will be yesterday's story. If he's not at the bottom of the lagoon, having driven a car into it while drunk. There are some things that are not in keeping with very long life. So let me not even go in that direction. So I'm just explaining something to you that if as a young man, you don't have $100 million dropping like this, nothing wrong with it. It's good. In fact, not that it's not wrong with it, it's good for you. If you have it, you're in trouble. So the young man was telling me about, he was, of course, that money was just dropping from, but you could see progress, purpose. But they called Family Meeting and said, look, let Hagar bear you a son. And he married Hagar. And now, I don't know whether his Ishmael has been born, but Ishmael certainly has been conceived. I hope he will deliver that Israel and go back to God and say, please, let me not drive away the bond woman and her son to my mother and my uncles. Let them handle him while I pursue what will give me a name. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? What happens is that people love to thread that which is natural. But what God actually wants to do in their lives is fulfill his promise. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I am not saying that people should just go and do what is crazy. I'm not trying to preach that. I'm trying to say that even though it is not natural, that is, it doesn't seem, according to the history and experience of human beings, that results come like this. If it is in keeping with the promise of God, God is actually laboring hard. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. That's why I said, say to Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by power or by might. It's going to be by my spirit. It's very important that Christians have that attitude towards life. You want to start something in life? Your own is, it is not the, you know, feasibility studies and the human wisdom that matters. It's how much prophetic word was poured over it. I'm not saying go and hire a prophet. Did I say so? I said it some time ago. Who's your own number one prophet? That you are on your number one prophet. You are your number one prophet. I have a lot of new husbands in the house. You are the number one prophet in the house. No matter how much blessing I prayed for you as a man of God, you understand my point, a preacher, you have to get into the house and prophesy it also. To explain to yourself, explain to your wife, explain to the spirits that this life is going to be an experience in the fulfillment of God's promises. You know, sometimes it's not good to read too many, all these health magazines, you know, medical issues. No, it's not good to know too much. It can confuse your ability to experience God's fulfillment, the fulfillment of his promise. My story all the time with that of Jackie Mice. The doctors told her a lot of things. Fortunately for her, Terry didn't know that story. Just said, look, I've read the Bible. So I've read the word of God. The promise of God is what we are going to use in this household. Do you understand? There was one word, that was the word of the doctor, that you can't bear children. The man said, that's not what the Bible says. And he began to prophesy the word of God in the house so that God had to walk in and fulfill his promise in the life of that woman. So despite the predictions of the soothsayers, she conceived and had, I think, 4 children. Somebody told me recently it was 4. That she had to write a book called Supernatural Childbirth. You will write a book called Supernatural Success. Amen. You will write a book called Supernatural Breakthrough. Amen. You will. You will. You will. And I want Christians to realize that that is what life is about. I say it all the time. I've been saying it for a very long time. Never relocate in your life to a place where life is easier. Because life is easier. Never. Everybody is fighting for a visa to go to this, go to that. Ask yourself, why am I going there? Say, it's easier to break through. Say, good. Now that I know it's easier to break through there, I refuse and reject the opportunity. Why? Because it is crucial that my life is a fulfillment of God's promise. That's why God said to Abraham, leave your father's house, where you are established, where you know people. Leave that place. Come to a land that I will show you. And let me establish my covenant with you. Let me say something to you. Anything that comes into your life that is a fulfillment of God's promise will outlive you. I don't know what I heard what I said. That is, you start a business, successful company, you die at the age of 105. A company will live another 105 years at least. You will not be an old man and you are tired and you are regretting it. It will never happen. Amen. All those ones happen only because of the birth of Ishmael. When Hagar gives you Ishmael. When Hagar gives you Ishmael. That is what happens. You get tired. It wears you out. You are struggling to the last day to sustain something because you give birth to it with your own strength. Listen, that's not supposed to be the way of the believer. And that's what I'm preaching. The way of the believer. The way of the believer is to locate the promises of God and start declaring those promises. And that's what prayer is. The prayer is making a demand on the promises. That is, God, you will fulfill this one. This was what I read in the scriptures. There are 2 kinds of promises. Let me quickly talk about that. Number one, I mean, these are things we have said in different ways. Let's just use another method. One is that which is common to everybody. When it come, that's what that saying, the series, the sayings of God, that's what I preach. Everything I say in there is common to everybody. Let me say it to you again. You will not prosper just because economy has improved. No. Economy improves to cooperate with your prosperity. Laws will be rewritten so that what God wants to do in your life will be brought, you know, to light. The testimony that I use of that of Tunde Bakare. A man was in confusion one day, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I think around that time he went to his pastor and said, all this one, yes, it was money matter. Pastor was always trying to say, brethren, don't forget our church building, the roof. We need to complete it before the rainy season starts. You know, those kind of things. He said, look, what, oh, Pastor, pray for me that God will give me money and all of this. That's Pastor Yadeboyo, one story somewhere that we don't know about. Real story. He said, just pray for me that God will bless me financially and you won't have to make this kind of announcements again. And the man prayed for him, and the following week they sacked him from the work where he was working that time. He was working, earning a salary, regular, and they fired him. And he went back to the pastor and said, this problem, I said, you didn't get the channel correct. Which number did you dial? That's what he was. They said, Pastor Adeboye laughed. I heard him say this on TV. He said, that was one day I felt I wish I had a gun to shoot somebody. That if I had a gun, I would have shot him. You prayed. Your prayer has scattered my life. I'm telling you about it. Instead of you to pray more prayers, you are laughing. Let's make a long story short. The man said to him that, listen, the kind of prayer, let me use my own words now, the kind of prayers we prayed, the manifestation cannot come in that kind of setting. That you can't end that kind of prosperity as a salary. So what should I do? Like, go and start your own business, a lawyer. So open your own chambers. He said, you don't seem to understand. The law, that's what I'm telling the story. The law in Nigeria at that time was that a lawyer of his level could not start a private practice. He had to work for somebody else. So if the man of God said, well, I don't have any other thing to say. Just go. He left the place. What will I do? Then he was watching TV. And he heard the Supreme Military Council that time abrogate the decree that said that professionals of his level of experience couldn't stand on their own. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. He was watching TV. He did not even specifically pray about that. And he heard that the decree had been released, removing the former decree. So now you are free to practice. And the first job he got paid him at once what used to be 2 years' salary. That it might be fulfilled that which was promised. I'm emphasizing on the word promise. Listen, what God is trying to do in your life and my life is to establish and fulfill his promise. That's why he said to them, he said, Paul was explaining that Romans chapter 9, that the seed is not numbered. Listen, I'm going to add this one to it. You must understand what you achieve on this earth that is not a fulfillment of God's promise does not count before him. Yes. One of the things you understand about God is that it doesn't, you know, he said, my glory I will not give to any other. You understand that? You know what that means? God is not greedy. He's not grabby. Is that glory? Give me, give me. You know, that kind of, don't let any glory live here. Give me everything. It's not like that. The idea is that when he does something in your life, he's the one that did it. That's just all he's talking about. The glory he's talking about is what he did, not what you managed to achieve and you claim the glory. No. He said, my glory. There are many things we do, it's not his glory. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, my own. I won't give to somebody else. I won't give to a graven image. Please, this must be your target as a believer. That my life must be a fulfillment of the promise of God. Not, listen, think about it. If you are sitting down, you know, you are thinking about, okay, to be able to achieve something like this, I need to have a PhD. Say, fine. Now that I don't have any PhD raised to power minus one, you understand my point? Not only don't I have a PhD, I have nothing at all. Then, having studied the word of God, not just vain thinking, set your target for something higher than what they say PhDs only can achieve. There's a book we had here then, Mover of Men and Mountains, by Roger Letourneau. That's one of the things I liked about the book. The man, if you didn't know that he didn't go to school, you would think he was an engineer, that is, trained engineer. He said he was a self-taught engineer. When you have ideas and scribble them down, engineers that were taught in school, we spent days trying to decode them. One of the stories I tell, once they finished church, they had a program in church, I think prayers, whatever, plenty, he got home late, he was tired. As he hit the bed, suddenly one idea just dropped in his mind. So he got up, went to his study, and began to sketch. Sketching to the early hours of the morning. When next day he went to work, gave to his engineers, guys, that's the next machine we are building. It took a team of engineers working for weeks to first decode what he was saying and put them in proper, you know, engineering drawing for every human being to be able to interpret and for them to begin to build. How did that come about? He was about to sleep. Suddenly an inspiration came upon him. He got up, went into his study and began to work. Why did I tell the story? He didn't have a BSc in engineering. He didn't have a B engine. He didn't have anything. But he caused those two had it. He caused them to stay up late at night for the next few weeks trying to decode what he wrote. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Listen, what's my message for today? Set your eyes on such things. Set your eyes on it. Stop thinking naturally. There are people who still think that the reason why they will succeed in life is because they know people, they are connected, they have money, they have a good degree. And as long as you are thinking like that, you are hooked on Ishmael. Hagar is your wife. If you are reasoning like that. Okay, say, Pastor Frank, what if I have those things? Just forget them in your mind. That's what I'm saying. Don't hope that that will be the reason you will do well in life. Don't even set your mind on it at all. When you want to pray, you pray as if that thing is not there. So, Lord, what will I do with this, my life? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And I'm saying to you, God said, I watch over my word to perform it. That is the one he's watching over. That which does not seem like it should be doable by you. That which does not seem like in your situation, such things should be able to come out. One day they came and said, we have seen the one that the prophet spoke about. Where is he from? He said, Nazareth. You know what the people said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So they said, okay, come and see. The guy's name was Nathaniel. So when he arrived there, Jesus looked at him and immediately told him his life story. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. He said, have we met before? That's what he said, have we met before? He said, oh no, I saw you under that tree. Nobody knew you was under the tree. He said, that's when your friends came and met you. That's some distance away from here. He said, don't worry, you are marveling because of this. I will show you greater things that have come out of Nazareth. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, that will be the testimony of your life.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. Anytime somebody rejects you in life, either they look for work somewhere, they say you are not qualified, don't be angry. Oh, God. What did I say? What did I say? Don't be angry. It is crucial you are not angry. You should smile. And someone say, why are you smiling? And in your mind, you're looking at the man who's saying that you're not qualified. And you are seeing the day you'll be examining his papers and seeing whether you can give this company some job. And in your mind, you're just smiling. The man doesn't know why you're smiling. Don't be angry. Never. That is, take it as provocation. What did I call it? Provocation. Provocation. You gotta say, no, you are not qualified enough. Just smile. And why are you laughing? What is funny? Let your papers. What is funny? Are you straightening your shirt? I'll be back. That is, next time we see, it may be in 20 years' time. And for your information, 20 years is not long. It's not long. You think it's long? Don't worry. Trust me, I'm experienced enough to tell you it's not long. When we entered University of Benin in 1985, my friends who were studying four-year courses were feeling sorry for those of us who are studying six-year courses. Then how can you come to school to sit down for 6 years? Do you know that my 6 years ended 22 years ago? Do I look old to you? I'm trying to prove to you 20 years is not long. If God said to you that at the age of 50, you'll be so influential, the whole world will be coming to your house of pilgrimage, you will say, I can't wait. Won't you say so? It's not a long time. Forget, don't let life. Don't worry. You will make steady progress. I said, you will make steady progress. But the fulfillment of that word can take 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Maybe more in some circumstances. But it will be fulfilled. And sometimes God does interesting things. He will keep that MD alive, walking still. Why is this man still walking? He's old. And I said, no. God said, no. He has to sign a letter requesting for a contract from my son. He has to. And then the boy will remember and smile and laugh. And that lady who delivered that message that day will have been promoted to the most superior company secretary. The one that asked you why you were laughing. She will have prospered. Don't think God is always killing people that didn't help you. So anybody that didn't help me in life will die, they will not die. You know that thing, let my enemies live long and see what I will be in the future. It's a good prayer. You've heard it before. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If that table will take 20 years to get ready, enemies, you can't die now. You must see the table. So one day they will come to your office and I'll sit down. And just to complete the story, I said, mother, remember that time I was laughing? Have we met before? You can't remember. I said, you can't remember me. That was quite some time ago. How long? That was 22 years ago. Where? I came to apply for this particular job. You guys said this. I laughed. And why was I laughing? I knew today would happen. Then you won't do this because you're a good man, but in your mind, you'll be replaying it. Your other manager has not only a first class, he has an MBA from Harvard. And a second MBA from Princeton. So, and I paid them. Are they qualified? They will now be the ones deciding whether your company is qualified to work for us. Are you getting my point? I know God does such things that men might fear before him. It's important when such things happen, you write, give a few interviews. You're not trying to brag. You're trying to encourage those who are coming after you. It will happen.
Amen.
You know, the older I get, I'm not too old yet, but I'm moving. Amen? The more I realize that anytime I tell you it will happen, believe it. Believe it. I'm not going to die now. You know what I do? I can't die now. I have to get to an airport. And you have to arrive.
Amen.
And I have to do you. Come. I'm practicing that. In fact, a day I'll do two in one day just to make a point. It's the only reason why I won't do it to a president is just out of respect for the office. But without doing it, I will stand like this. They just said, sir, please, can you come over here? What is the issue? They said, you have to arrive by the presidential lounge, sir. Why? The president is arriving, he heard you arriving at the same time. He said, we have to make you pass through there. I said, oh, how is he? He said, he's fine, sir. All right, I will wait here. And the president will arrive and bow down and shake my hand with humility. And I will put hand on his back. And I will say, it shall be well with Nigeria. Under your watch, it will be well with us. I'm telling you, I will do it, though. I will come to government houses to pray. Don't worry, when I'm coming for money, you know me. I'm not coming to look for, if I want to say a politician, sorry. Your opportunity to bless me don't reduce. I'm going to look at money. One day somebody gave Bishop Oyedepo money. He was a governor. Oyedepo said, is this money your own? No, Bishop asked him. When they went to do it, when they gathered people, so he was invited to come and preach. One thing they gave him money, he called the man. Is this one your own? The man said, yes, sir. Like, I swear by Almighty God, this one. It's my own. He said, very good. You collected it. Don't take any money from anywhere. You understand? Come and give me problems in life. The Lord is good. But you can be sure I'll visit you one day in the government house.
Yeah.
One day I'll get to one building. I just say, who's there? Oh, is this the headquarters? Let's go and greet them. I will stop your board meeting. Just, you know, that's, don't be angry with me. That's my own pleasure. I will enter your boardroom one day. I'll just misbehave. People will be wondering what's going on. I just want you to go on record that I came to such a great company and there I was misbehaving. I just go say, the secretary said, please, they're in the meeting. The kind of eye I will cut for somebody like this. What did you say? I can't go in. The person will look. When I throw the door open and people jump out, good afternoon, sir. I go, look, the secretary, warn yourself. You know why I'm talking like this? Because you will be the one. That's all I'm talking about. I will do it to you. I will disrupt your board meeting. Either you're a bishop, a president, I will walk in one day. And that will be the gladness of my heart.
Yeah.
I said, it will happen.
Yeah.
What did I say?
It will happen.
Listen to me. God's assignment, he said, I watch over my word, my promises to fulfill them. If I promised you something, I will fulfill it. You know what impressed God about Abraham? That Abraham could understand that thing so much. So that when they say, sacrifice your son, we read that from that Hebrews chapter 11. He still went and sacrificed Isaac, knowing that the word had said, in Isaac will my seed be. God said, this fellow didn't doubt it. So he said, if we sacrifice Isaac, and the boy is not married yet, doesn't have children yet, there must be something that God is trying to do. Let's go and watch. And that was what impressed God. Listen, it wouldn't have impressed God half as much for Abraham to take Isaac and say, God, take. The Lord give it. The Lord now is requesting to take away. Take. I will not hold anything back from my God. You know the way we talk. As if God is, you know, poverty is a bad thing. You know, when people are used to poverty, they think that collecting is the most important thing in life. Did you see that food? They gave it to us. Oh, praise God. That's a testimony. It's background of poverty. It's not totally bad, it's just that we should go beyond that level. God has never been poor. Gifts have never excited him. Did you hear what I said? I mean that one. I mean it literally. Gifts have never excited God. They have never excited him. Like I said, what? He gave me 1,000. What is that one that Solomon did? 1,000 burnt offerings? Oh God, heaven is filled with smoke. Everybody begin to bless. It's where we preach because, you know, we want to collect. Is 1,000 burnt offerings good? Yes, because there were 1,000 sinners there. All their sins had to be covered. You don't know. Too many sins. So you had to slaughter 1,000 burnt offerings. Talk about all the iniquity in the land. That's why God was able to talk to Solomon. He said, now I can see you clearly. Before, too many sins. Now, what I'm trying to explain is that don't think that God was excited. Solomon just gave 1,000 burnt offerings. No. What impresses God all the time is faith. What impresses God all the time is faith. That I said to Abraham, in Isaac will your seed be. Then I came and killed Isaac. And is he confident that the word of God that came to me can never go unfulfilled? The God don't swear to me. I said, I lie. In Isaac will my seed be. Let Isaac die. Isaac, your dead body will give birth to children. When God saw that one, that was when God jumped up. Because faith always excites God. When Jesus came in the flesh, that's what used to excite him too. He will look at him and say, "Ye, I have not seen faith like this in Israel." What did the man say? What did he say? He just said, "Sir, I'm a man under authority. I understand the authority. You don't need to come to my house. Wherever you are, just speak the word." You must understand, people touched his garments. And he was impressed, but not that impressed. That was a high level of faith. They didn't talk to him. They just tapped the garment and ran away. And virtue flowed. But the man said to him simply, "Just speak the word and my servant will be well." That is, I don't want you to come. From where you are now, talk. Jesus looked and said, something like that. That this is faith, the type I have not seen in Israel. A woman needed healing for her child. Jesus said, "No healing today." He said, "I'm not going anywhere." By the time she gave him a revelation of the word of God, Jesus said, "That is word." You know, like somebody said, "Preach it, preacher." Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Go, that's the word." He said, "Great is thy faith." What always moved him is faith. That is, what is faith? I take the promise of God, I build my life around it. The place where Ishmael cannot come from is where Isaac shows up from. No, anytime I reason like this, meditate about this, preach this word again, I become more convinced that from wherever you are, you will prosper from that place. It will spread to the ends of the earth. Amen. That one, I'm sure of it. I don't care whether you have a BSc, no BSc. You went to school, you didn't go to school, even if your English not arranged. It makes no difference. What matters is that faith in Christ is intact. Listen to me. Everything you have in life is for occupy till I come. What did I call it? Occupy till I come. Listen, anything you have in life is for what? Just occupy, occupy, occupy. You have a very good degree working somewhere, continue working. You don't have it, you are working somewhere, continue working. You have a ministry, you are preaching somewhere, continue preaching. Everything that God has given you is for simply occupation, you know. Is that good? It's for occupying till he comes, you know. But you get my own and not explain. So you keep you occupied. It is not the, no. There's no guarantee that that's where it's coming from. What God just simply said to you is that this one, occupy. The problem with people is that they think it must be, you know, is the Hagar way. So if they look at the occupation, it's not going that way. You get my point? They are discouraged. They don't realize that why God gave you that one occupation is for you to be occupied until the word of God will be fulfilled. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? One of the things you must never do for yourself in life is, you know, put yourself in a place where you are not occupied. You wake up in the morning, what are you doing? That job is not good. It's not, men don't. Remember the story of one man I told you? Why don't you get the job and be working? He said they don't pay well. The real money, when it comes, is normally big. So at age of 40, Bruce was just still hanging around doing nothing. He didn't realize that when God comes back, you must be occupied. God doesn't come when you are not occupied. You must be occupied. What God gives, puts in your hand today, is not, that's not like, yes, this is Isaac. No. This is occupy till I come. But that I will come, most certainly. That I will come, that one is certain. That I will come, that's what he said, is certain. When I come, I only come to fulfill my promise. Tell young men, you're not going to school because you want to get a job and because you get a good career. You're going to school because a young man is supposed to learn, supposed to have his head full of knowledge, you must be aware. That's it. That's the primary thing. People say there are no jobs for graduates in this country. I say, who said there should be jobs for graduates? You're not sent to school to get a job. You're sent to school to learn. And for the people that believe the promise of God, they use whatever it is that God has given them to create jobs for other people. Because not all men have faith. You have to help them. You have to be a blessing. God has released you into this life as a blessing. So you don't have that kind of attitude, that kind of mentality, that somebody created a job for me. No. I'm just getting occupied. I'm keeping occupied until he comes. And when God comes, let me just say this one and I close with it. When he comes, he will establish you, Isaac, and establish his covenant with the descendants of Isaac. People like you fill this country. In 20 years' time, in 100 years' time, what you and I will produce will still be keeping this country going if Jesus doesn't come back. Do you get what I'm explaining? Let me tell you the truth. Eh? Anybody desires to power Nigeria with electricity, God will give it to you. I didn't hear that amen.
Amen.
Let me explain. I just felt like saying that. You know, now there are, you know, power station distribution companies is being distributed. It's good. Don't worry. People are keeping it. Before, when you are entering into a promised land, usually people till that land till you come. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. So if in your heart, you just say like, look, power can be good. We like to do it like, don't worry. Though your beginning to be small. So doesn't matter how small you appear. What God wants to do is to fulfill promises. And he will do whatever he has to do to fulfill that promise. What I'm going to establish? The fact that what comes out of your life as a fulfillment of God's promise will spread and increase. And this is the point. That is actually what fills the earth and subdues it. I don't know whether you understand what I said. Listen. When, you know, I used to discuss with preachers. They say if you want to really have influence, Enugu is not a good place. You go to Lagos. That's Higa. What did I call it?
Higa.
Now, many people go to Lagos. Now, there are preachers in Lagos who are not Higa preachers. They are there because that's their own assignment. But those who relocate from certain places to go to other places, this is the interesting part. Higa will immediately produce. But this is a word. That you get to that Lagos, you have a big church. It's money you are looking for. You have plenty of it. And that is it. Their influence will not go beyond that level. But if that ministry was supposed to be in Abakiliki, and from there, Isaac is born. Get my point? From Australia, they will come and pay pilgrimage to Abakiliki. That's what I mean. He said, mark the righteous man, his seed will be mighty on the earth. That seed, I've explained today, is not Hagar's seed. It has to be the seed that came forth by what? By promise. If you want your seed to be mighty on the earth, make sure you are bringing it forth by promise. What do I mean by bringing it forth by promise? You are watering your life every day by the word of God, and then God kindles something in your heart. It looks impossible, but you start pouring the promises. I said there are two sides to it. I didn't have time to get into that. There's one that's general for everybody. In the midst of obeying that which is general, God can do something that is specific for you. Personally, my own is specifically about ministry. That one is specifically about ministry. and God has been so good to me, I have done ministry the very way everybody refused to do it. And for me, that has been good. So that this seed will be mighty on the earth. Let me end my message. I'm looking at my time. I'm trying to connect something, but it's not fully connected. I'll connect it next time, all right? But the point is that your own seed also will be mighty on the earth. And it doesn't have to be that which comes. You may have gone to school, you studied engineering. It will be newspaper publication that will be mighty in your life. Yeah, it can happen. But remember, just be occupied till he comes. What you are doing right now is what? Occupying. God has given you something to occupy. That is not the thing that will be the Isaac. Just be busy doing that. In due season, Isaac will be conceived. Oftentimes, by that time, Sarah is 90 years old. But don't worry, it's still good time. What did I say? What did I say? I hope you are blessed today. Yes, let your bow down and begin to give the Lord thanks.